a lemon rind. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Molly Brine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful sorry, Molly Brine. We were cruising, crew was snoozing, when up jumped a salmon fine. Boss to crew says, lose your snoozes to make a set. I am inclined. Get the crew up, heat the stew up, don't forget the safety line. Can't catch fishes, making wishes, so we set out from the shoreline. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Molly Brine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful sorry, Molly Brine. The morn was early, the crew was surly, on the boat where I did pine. Plunging slowly, feeling lowly, scanning for my Molly Brine. I'd been in town, threw some drinks down, bragged too loud of my good find. Lovely brunette, hair with rain wet, shy and tough, my Molly Brine. Many ears perked as my mouth worked, and my love I did malign. Described her face and all her graces at Tony's on till closing time. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Molly Brine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful sorry, Molly Brine. Come the morning, without warning, standing in the dark sunshine. Oh, my poor head, what had I said? Nothing much, I'm sure it's fine. An approaching fury made me worry, as she for me made a beeline. You're a dumb twit, I'm so over it, and she dumped me Molly Brine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling,
oh, my darling. Indeed, that's our darling Mo Bowstern. And, yep, you know what's coming, don't you? It's a Fisher Poets Gathering. It is a happening thing this weekend. Although there's not much traffic, not many cars, and no strangers walking around town. That's because they're all over the world watching their screens, as I was last night and hope to be tonight and tomorrow night. And this is Carol with Arts Live and Local from the parking lot with the wind blowing, but I think we're safe for today. Thanks for being here. On my way in, I saw many flags at half mast, and that is for the 500,000 people who have died. 500,000, like the song, 500,000 boots go slugging through hell. Only I heard that 500,000 people dying from COVID is more than all who Americans, this is just in the United States, not all over the world, more than the Americans who died in World War I, World War II, and Vietnam. And yet. So thank you to the healthcare workers who are trying to keep us healthy, and thank you to all the frontline and essential workers who are out there risking their lives, yes. And thank you to our community, which for the most part supports safety, kindness, and caring. And one of the way we show care here at KMUN is through the arts. So I am very happy to introduce my first guest, who needs no introduction. Hey, Dave Densmore.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Hi. Did you hear Mo's song?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Molly Brine, yeah, she's got a whole album called Extra Tough. What is extra tough?
That's a boot most fishermen wear anymore. The sole is real soft, so it grips the deck really good. We used to, when I was a kid, we used to wear hip boots, and kind of a 1 year we got ponchos that matched the hip boots, and then you didn't see too many people in full rain gear, but hip boots was the order of the day, but slowly it was, when the extra stuff come on the scene, they really caught on because, like I said, they were real light. They called them Kodiak sneakers and Dutch Harbor sneakers. But
sneakers.
There was a little girl, tiny little slip of a girl. I think she was from France. Pretty little thing. She was fishing on a friend of mine, Sainer, 1 year. And we were in Kodiak, and she was going to dance, and she had on a full-length ball gown and just all dolled up. But as I watched her walk, I could see her extra tufts, little tiny extra tufts.
That's great. Yeah, the sign of a fishing family. Speaking of which, Dave is one of our local Astoria fisher poets. Who have you been part of the gathering for the entire time?
I missed the first year. I was when I first moved down here from Alaska. The limited entry had already come in on dragging and so on, so I couldn't go back dragging, winter dragging, so I got a CDL and went long haul and driving truck, and I wanted to see some country anyway, and, and somebody was going to pay me to do it, that was great.
Nice.
When they called, Gino actually called me and said, hey, you know anybody that writes poetry? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I had to leave. I couldn't make it because I was at the end of my time, and I was leaving home, and he called, so I missed that first one.
And that would be Gino Leach from the Peninsula, another one of our local star fisher poet stars. We've got several of them here. But so that was a question I was wondering about. Had you already started writing before the call came out from the gathering?
Oh, yeah. I started writing back in the 70s, and I started out just writing little 4 or 5 liners about something funny that happened on deck and little rhymers to kind of tease through it. And I started reading on the, once in a while I'd write something about another boat and I'd read it on the radio to them and people asking for it. But mostly it was just for fun. And the thing with Fisher Poets, it gave me a focus, and it gave me a platform, because by the time Fisher Poets started, I had already realized that this was, if I could tell our story, people would know who we were, and we could change our image a little bit, because we had a pretty bad image. The news media had been really hard on commercial fishermen, I thought, unfair. And I'd written quite a bit of protest poetry, and it just opened up a whole new venue for me. And Fisher Poets has been so good for the commercial fishing industry as a whole, actually.
Well, I must say, I don't know all the others, although I've been attending forever, but I could easily say that your poetry has grown in depth and sophistication, and by that I don't mean elitism, I just mean ability to express yourself. And you have gone from A to Z in telling the stories. I've got one picked out for the break, Fishing Fever, I think it's called. It's on your album. So you've got the one solid album out, and you also have a wonderful piece that I would love to play, but the quality of the recording, it was done live, and that's For the Love of Fishing, you and Alexa Wiley, and it's just beautiful and very at home, but it's a little challenging to hear on the radio, so I'm listening to it myself. But folks can, I don't know if they can still get those CDs, but Did you tell me that you're going to be coming out with a new one?
Well, I've got one written that I've got a lot of stuff laid down. I've got 4 books out, and I've got 2 more that I need to get in print. But the CD is the next CD is real special to me. It's Jimmy Kasner, who is on the first CD with one of his songs, wrote a song a couple of years ago. We were down in Newport. I just bought a boat and was putting the rebuilding everything. It was real run down and neglected, and I was rebuilding everything. And Jim would come over in the evenings. He was swapping engines on another boat for somebody, and would come over with his guitar, and he was working on this song. And when I first heard it, I thought, once again, just like the first song he did for me about he didn't do it for me, but the one about Distant Waters Calling that's on that CD. Mm-hmm. It was talking about my life, and so I asked him if we could put it on the next CD when I got it out, and he said yes. And so that's going to be the opening number, and I'm going to kind of build off of that. And then there's a pastor, I won't get into his story now, but he wrote a poem called, or a song called The Anchor Holds. I've seen some real hard times, and it just applied so well. And I want that in the middle, and then some more poetry. And then Butch Lehman out in the Nilchik, who is just such a talented writer and singer, songwriter, guitar player. And he's got a song he did last year at Fisher Poets called A Fisherman's Prayer that I want to end the CD. But it's just a matter of getting the time and money to get in the same place, which seems to be a rare commodity.
Well,
getting them both at the same time.
This is pretty exciting, because now, you know, you've gone the whole gamut to producing arranging and producing your own work as well, and the work of others, which is part of this whole thing. It's such a strong community. Now, there are people listening from all over the world today, right now, who don't even know what we're talking about. The Fisher Poets Gathering, the first thing I would say is go to, if you have access to the internet, good or bad, like some of us in rural Oregon or rural America, check out fisherpoets.org and get the whole story, and do it soon, because you'll be able to tune in free this evening at 6 p.m., and watch the streaming. It was very impressive how well it went last night. I was amazed. This Amanda Gladitz, she's got the magic touch, she and her crew, of keeping the show running. And we had a couple of MCs, starting with John Broderick, and just one after another, familiar faces and new faces come up. And a poem, a song, a story, and it just warms the heart. And they also mentioned all the venues. I don't know if you heard this part, Dave. All the venues in Astoria that everybody's missing. Because at this weekend in Astoria for the last 24 years has been packed. Not at the very beginning, but soon after, packed with folks coming from all over, most of them the people who are involved, the commercial fishermen and their families, but now also people who found out how rich this festival is and come here. So you started fishing very young. I love the poem that I'm going to play. So I don't want to tell that whole story, but you're kind of, instead of just staring out the window, daydreaming, what were you doing when you were in school?
Drawing boats, usually, and wishing I was out in my skiff or hunting with Dad, anything but being there in school.
And
my mom found out about it because she was a substitute teacher from time to time, and I had to do double duty usually. I'd have to go to school, and I'd have to bring my books home so she could make sure I'd get an education.
And this was where?
was out in the Aleutian Islands. We lived in three different places. On Unimak Island, there was a village. It's gone now, but it's called Icatan. And there's a big open-sided bay called Icatan Bight, named after it. It's by Fultz Pass, which is still there. And then we lived in a little village called Unga, which is on Unga Island, near Pop-Off Island, which the big town, Sandpoint, it's not a big town, but it's growing steadily, a fishing town called Sandpoint, for reference. And then out on a little island offshore, about 30 miles offshore, called Snack Island, Hall of Harbor. So that's... Yeah, and I want to say that the elders there, in their quiet, subtle way, taught me an awful lot about life and just how to be a man. You know, I had a good dad and a good role model there, but I had a lot of good role models, and they were good men and good people, good men and women that just, we were living a subsistence lifestyle. You know, we didn't have any stores, but any fresh meat we got, we hunted or dug or caught.
Mm-hmm. So these were small places, so everybody knew everybody very well?
Yeah, they were villages that were dying. You know, people were starting to move towards where the canneries were, where the work was, and so on. So, yeah, they were real small.
And you were
intimate places.
You were born there, or your family moved up there?
No, my family moved there. We went to Kodiak and then moved out there. And my folks were actually missionaries, and they went out and they went by invite. Somebody would say, "Hey, come out and open up a church. Come out and do this." My folks lived in Kodiak when we lived in Kodiak, and people would come in out of the villages, you know, and they. I don't know, my folks seemed to be pretty well known, I guess, and they'd stay at our house. A lot of people, they would stay at our house. They had to come and go to the doctor or something. And I remember people coming back from a neighboring village of a fog neck there in Kodiak and coming home, and there'd be things would be changed around a little bit, and we'd be gone for 2 or 3 weeks, and there'd be a note on the table. It's happened several times. We came to stay with you, and you weren't here, so we did. Thank you.
I love it. That's the way it should be.
Neat.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I just do want to remark, because in case people think it's something going strange with their radio, you have a bunch of serenaders in the background. What are we hearing, Dave? And where the heck are you?
You know, I live on a boat here in the East End, Mooring Basin, and the next float over has about 300 sea lion on it. And they sing me to sleep morning nights, and that's my rooster crowing morning, so I hear them all the time, 24/7.
That's amazing, because I'm hearing them in my head, and I love that sound. Of course, I don't live with them, so I don't know if everybody feels that way, but it sure sounds pretty right now. So you live on a boat now. You've lived in houses, though, whether it was in Alaska or here. What is it about? What is it about the water? What is it? How does it get you?
I don't know, Carol. I have always. That's for always been my orientation since I was a little kid. When I was six, we moved out from Colorado, and I was always hunting for water there, playing around the irrigation ditches and stuff. But we come out, and we it's a little grade school, and I had a big playground, and there was all the normal playground stuff, but there was an old power skiff somebody put there. Nobody went near it except me. I spent every recess just about in that skiff, because I could see through the trees, I could see Puget Sound. And I knew that's where I needed to be. Even then, it called me. It completely had me. Yeah, I was born that way, I guess.
So can you tell us a little bit about some of the other folks, either individuals or just the general tenor that make up the Fisher Poets Gathering? Because we've got people coming from the East Coast. We've got people from England. They were here in person in the past. It's a little easier now online, and I'm not even sure where else they're coming from. But what can you tell us about this?
Well, in general, if the people that are coming are fishermen and people that love the ocean, and there's every once in a while there's a little sprinkling of maybe a tugboat skipper, or there's even been a couple guys from the Coast Guard come told stories. But the unifying factor is a love of the sea and a respect and love of nature. And the spoken word. And I have to say that is my greatest pleasure. If I've acquired any voice of any amount from fisher poets and from my writings, my greatest pleasure of all is encouraging young writers, encouraging young people, or people to be just young writers, with, no matter what their age, to write. Write your thoughts down. Write your words down. Write what you feel down. Everybody that comes has something to say, and it's people say it in different ways. Some sing, some tell a story, some have poetry, some just read their thoughts out. But it's all from the heart, and that's the whole thing, Carol. Any performer on that stage of Fisher Poets is speaking from the heart, and to me that makes them special, because when you're speaking from the heart, you're telling your truth.
Mm-hmm. So you said you believe in encouraging youth. Do you get the opportunity to do that much?
Well, I haven't. This last year or two, I haven't traveled much, but I've been down Salem, up and down this coast, and they brought me back to the East Coast a number of times and to different festivals down in the Carolinas and up into New England, and I do a lot of schools. One year, the state of Massachusetts hired me to do all the schools on Martha's Vineyard, and it took about a week. I just love doing schools, going into schools and talking to kids in fourth, fifth, sixth graders or high school, I don't care, but the fifth and sixth graders are so much fun, and they all have something to say. And I've been in there where I read a couple poems and get the kids to talk to me, and pretty soon they're telling me stories, and the teachers are saying, hey, you should read another poem. But I was there for the kids. I was there to tell the kids, you need to write. Write that down. Yeah. Write that down. And I was a judge in a poetry contest in one of the schools back east there, and there was five or six kids. Well, there was, I think, five girls and three boys or something. And we invited them to one of my gigs at the Working Waterfront Festival in New Bedford, and the four girls came, and they were scared. You know, they were in junior high school, but I stayed right there with them and introduced them and calmed them down, and it was so much fun. One of the girl actually won the competition.
Ooh.
She went on to be, last I heard, she was in college studying creative writing.
Creative writing, wow. Mm-hmm. That must feel really, really good, Dave. Huh? I mean, it's like she's not a relative, but she is. You were important in her life, and of course, the kids are all important in our life as well. So
Yep. Fantastic.
I want to mention that in addition to the Fisher Poets Gathering, which is, again, that was quite wonderful, and tonight and tomorrow night, it's Friday and Saturday, 6 p.m. goes from 6 to 7:30, and then from 8, there's a break of a half hour, and then from 8 to 9:30. And if you go to fisherpoets.org, it will tell you, it will guide you how to get, or if for some reason you lose that, you can just type in Fisher Poets Gathering 2021 and do it in advance so you don't miss anything. I also, here in Astoria, there are three venues, art galleries, that are showing work. I just came from Imogen, actually. George Wilson was my guest a couple of weeks ago, but I hadn't seen the whole show except online. It's a gorgeous show. I love his work, and I am thrilled that he put out another calendar so you can get in touch with Imogen Gallery It's just imogen.com, and it's on at 240 11th, so 11th Street and Marine Drive, and see his work. And also, round the corner is Riversea Gallery, has Duncan Berry at the Wild Edge. And by the way, George's show is called Rain, which seems to be very appropriate right now. Duncan Berry at the Wild Edge. I don't know, are you familiar with Duncan Berry's work? Have you? He does these monoprints, monoprint impressions from the land, sea, and air of Oregon's coastline. And every year he does workshops. And by the way, when you go to the fisherpoets.org, you'll see there are workshops happening. They've got that going also. Very exciting. So Duncan has a wonderful octopus. Is one of them. He uses the real critter. And then the third one is at the Astoria Visual Arts, When Crab Was King. And these are all running all month until early March. And that's at the corner of 10th and Duane. And that's with Fisher folks holding their own photo from earlier years. It's quite delightful. And their whole story is written out. So those are some more ways you can celebrate Fisher Poets Gathering. And, yeah. So, Dave, are you going to be watching tonight? You did your thing last night, so you're off the hook now, right?
Yes, yes.
Literally off the hook. You know, I didn't mean that as a pun, but I guess it is. I'm talking to the right person. Yeah. Well, it was great, and I don't know that these are going to be archived, folks, so try to catch it. You don't have to see the whole thing. Put it on. And if you've got other stuff happening, you can't be there for the whole time, don't worry about it, but do catch some of it because it is delightful. And now I've got a poem from Dave Densmore. This will tell you his life. And I'm so, so glad that you decided to sort of settle down in the Columbia River here in Astoria, Dave. It's such a pleasure knowing you.
Well, likewise, Carol.
Okay, you take care. And we're going to listen to Dave Densmore right now.
Now, there's a fever that can grip, hard as one for gold. There's none to do but follow through once you're in his hold. I've had it long as I remember. Some say I was born this way. All I know is all my life I've been held in his sway. I've spent many hours staying after class, just feeling like a fool. Wrote the same damn line thousands of times. I won't draw boats in school. Stood many a watch in the corner, 'cause I'd been caught again. The other kids laughed, but I wouldn't accept. Dreaming of fishing was such a sin. Yeah, let them laugh. I didn't care. Hell, I didn't even hear. I was really on my flying bridge, making the biggest haul of the year. Well, what did they expect? The school overlooked the harbor, and for a kid with fishing fever, nowhere could be harder. Once spent a week out in the hall, the teacher brought the assignments out to me, just 'cause whenever a boat started up, I jumped to my feet to see. It was spring, I was 10 years old. Fishing fever had me by the throat. I didn't care about the ABCs. I simply wanted on a boat. Well, my first boat was bought on a handshake. When I was just 13, I guess she's a rough old slab, but I thought she was a queen. Her ignition switch was a wire and a nail. The engine slid forth and back. You better have your rain gear on if it rained while you're in the sack. Her water tank was a wooden keg. The stove was fired by coal. And if the swell wasn't on the bow, Lord, how that boat could roll. But I didn't care, 'cause I just knew that I was on my way. And I was quick to go on the fight if one had something negative to say. Well, I've had a lot of boats since then. I suppose I really want them all. Why, some have actually called my name as I walk past their stall. You know, I guess I've made a lot of money, but that really didn't seem to count. At least I certainly hope it didn't, 'cause it's always gone back out. There's always a different boat, gear permit that I really need to buy. But someday I'm going to cut back. Though I really don't know why.
Hey, that's beautiful. I love it. And again, the kinds of stuff you hear at Fisher Poets Gathering is cuts across the gamut, totally goes the gamut, from poignant to hilarious to tragic to just the life and all of it, as Dave said. It's from the heart. That's what keeps it all together. I want to mention also that tonight is the Sea Crab House grand opening, just in time for Fisher Poets only. There aren't too many fishers in town, but there's a grand opening at 4 o'clock, and from 6 to 9, there will be music with Kelly Stargazer and Dante. And also something that's going on now that you can watch anytime. If you're a bit of an insomniac like some of us, you can catch it. Or if you're an early morning person, the CoasterTheater.com. It's CoasterTheater.com website is showing Don't Fear Shakespeare in a Park. That's in parentheses. Don't Fear Shakespeare. This is a collaboration between the Coaster Theater and KMUN. So eventually it will come to KMUN's website as well. But right now, check it out. There's some wonderful material they've been sending out to us. And it's keeping a lot of us alive and well. The arts are alive and well, even if they're in little boxes or in a 13-inch screen, whatever. But we know the people are behind it. So check it out, folks. And one more thing I want to announce. I may say it later, but just to make sure I don't forget. KMUN has a thank you gift for its members, and I hope that's all of you. March 15th is the beginning of our spring pledge drive, and KMUN has a special release. KMUN and the Liberty Theater present in high definition an audio and video concert. It's on YouTube. You search for KMUN, and it's featuring one of my favorite groups. They come in all sizes and shapes. This is folks from the 45th Parallel Universe Orchestra. It's a trio featuring all French music. And I think that the staff at KMUN and the Liberty have worked hard to make this into a beautiful production, high quality. So remember, March 15th is the beginning of our pledge drive. Yes, I will be asking you to call in, or actually during this show, you better just go online because we're using the phones. But it doesn't matter when you do it. Go online and be sure to support your favorite radio station in the world. I hope it's your favorite. It certainly is mine. And then while you're on the website, you search, it'll be written reminding you that you can go over to YouTube, search for KMUN, and watch this fabulous concert starting March 15th. Thanks, folks. And you are listening to KMUN, Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5. And I've got a really fun arts event happening. This is something I believe in, arts-based social action. And my guest, well-known to KMUN, Arts Live and Local, and to the community, and that would be Kristen Schock from Clatsop Community College Art Department. She's the head of the art department and the director of the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery. And together, Clatsop College and Fort George Brewery present Ales and Ideas, on Facebook Live. Every Thursday, they produce a different kind of offering. On March 4th, you can tune in and watch and listen to the Giant Give, the Cinnamon Bun Philanthropy Creative Community Connections in the Time of COVID. I have two guests today. My other person, I'll introduce in a second. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I just can't wait to see what you're going to be showing us at the Giant Give, Ales and Ideas. But I want to bring Whitney in because I believe she's your inspiration for this. Whitney Roots? Whitney, how do you pronounce your name?
That is exactly right.
Oh, Whitney my Roots. Goodness. That's perfect. Whitney Roots is here from, here's her title, folks. She's royalty. Portland's Cinnamon Bun Philanthropist. And I just love it. Apparently, you got inspired to work with your 7-year-old daughter and do something productive for the community. Could you tell us about it?
Yeah, Carol. So at the beginning of COVID, which was, it's hard to believe it's been nearly a year ago, my daughter and I were beginning to isolate just like the rest of the world and, you know, really struggling with our feelings around it. And I wanted to cheer her up. And so I turned to her one morning. I said, do you want to make a giant cinnamon roll? And what 7-year-old would say no to that? so we baked this giant cinnamon roll. It's 12 inches in diameter. It's about 4 inches tall. So true to its name, it's giant. And long story short, people on social media started talking about how they wanted one. And I just thought that evening, I wonder how much money I could sell this giant cinnamon roll for, and could I have the money donated to the Oregon Food Bank? And I really thought I'll get $50 for a cinnamon roll max, and then, you know, I'll do it a couple times and it'll be over with. Well, $55,000 later, I'm starting to tear up.
Oh my God.
Just,
wow.
The community really, really, really rallied around us. We started making these giant cinnamon rolls for healthcare workers working on the COVID floors of the hospitals and working in nursing homes and just taking care of us, the people who couldn't stay home, mm-hmm. you know, the frontline healthcare
yes.
workers who were giving their all. And so we baked over 125 giant cinnamon rolls for
oh
them.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And while the Oregon Food Bank benefited greatly. And so at the kind of near the beginning of all of that, we started having local artists decorate the boxes. And people were paying high dollar so that we would auction off like a box a day. So my husband, for instance, decorated a box with the image of Katie Lang on it.
Oh, wow.
She signed it for us.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, that box ended up auctioning off for $3,500 at the Oregon Food Bank.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, hold on a second. The box went to the person who gave the money that went to the food bank, correct?
In most cases, people wanted the artwork for themselves, but they wanted the cinnamon roll donated to healthcare workers.
That's what I was wondering, how you managed to do this incredible thing, take care of the essential workers and raise a lot of money for the Oregon Food Bank. And you had no idea this was going to happen.
Oh. I mean, I truly thought that the very first cinnamon roll that I thought maybe would go for $50 sold for $300.
Wow.
And that's, I just like, oh, maybe we're on to something here. And then, you know, then the Oregon right. Food Bank called and said, we love what you're doing.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's
yeah.
promote this. Let's get really involved with the community. And it just, it snowballed into just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Are you still doing this?
So with the recent surge of COVID cases, hospitals have asked us not to bring in any outside food.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also not allowing their employees to congregate around one giant cinnamon roll.
Right.
So unfortunately, I mean, this is actually a really good segue into how we got to work with Kristen.
Right.
Because We are not delivering these cinnamon rolls anymore, but we have so many leftover boxes, and that's how we came up with the idea of an art show to benefit the class of food bank.
Okay, now Kristen,
yes.
You're on. What? How did you get involved? How did you connect up with Whitney? And what is happening?
Well, you know, Whitney's husband, Paul Roots, has been involved in our Au Naturel for how many times now, Whitney? It's been at least three, right? Three shows?
I think you're probably right.
Three shows. He had a solo show up here as one of our solo show awards, and then he'll be having another show I'm super excited about. He's going to be paired up with a Canadian artist, and that will open up our season next fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had left this big, beautiful painting in the gallery. He had been there all summer because they hadn't had a chance to come pick it up, and we were able to enjoy it. I was so happy. But when they finally came up at the end of the summer, we went to lunch, and we were chatting, and Whitney was telling me about this thing she was doing. Mm-hmm. I got so excited about it, and I said, oh, Whitney, could I get my students involved? Because I thought it was such a great thing. And so we just made it happen. I mean, Whitney checked into the Clatsop County Food Bank, and they were all on board. And so we thought, since we're canceling the Au Naturel this year, we'd invite the artists to participate, too, and also the local artists. We already have, we're having some really great boxes roll in. Noel Thomas did a beautiful one with a pastel drawing of a potato. I just love it.
Like a potato kind of looks like a cinnamon roll, of course. Wait a second. Now, are there going to be any more cinnamon rolls, or are these now we've shifted entirely to art boxes? Because my mouth has been watering thinking about the cinnamon buns as well.
I know. Well, I guess that would be up to Whitney, but I think we've kind of shifted away from that.
Yeah.
You know what, Carol? I would be happy to make you a cinnamon roll.
That's great. Well, if we were having an opening, wouldn't that be something? But
that would be, I know. But unfortunately, right now, at this moment, we can't. I'm hoping that maybe in the fall we'll be able to have receptions again.
So you are actually going to exhibit the art at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery.
Exactly. And so our doors are open. We can only allow, where our guideline is, we've decided six people at a time, but there really hasn't been any danger of any more than that. We haven't had more than that come by anyway. But
are they up now? Are these
not yet?
Okay.
People are still bringing them in. Officially, we open March 4th, that's a week from Thursday, the same night as our Elves and Ideas presentation.
Okay, and that's where we need to shift people's focus right now, because there are a lot of people listening online who can't come by and see the art at the gallery. The gallery, by the way, what's the, how do you describe the location of the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery?
Well, Kristen, I think the best way is just to say go straight up 16th Street and turn left on Lexington.
There you go.
And the Art Center is just all the way up at the top of the hill. You can't miss it.
Right. And there's plenty of parking below it and above it. So
exactly.
That's mm-hmm. one of the unusual things around here. So if you're local, you can go and see the art once it's up. So what is happening on March 4th at 7 p.m. on the Facebook Live of Fort George Brewery?
Yes, so we will be streaming live from the showroom down there and talking about this event, and also, you know, kind of in the wider context, how art and social action has, there's a lot of artists. It's kind of a global thing. So it's really exciting to think about all the things that people are doing to use their creativity and talents to help uplift communities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'll be talking about. And we're going to pre-record a little video with Whitney so she can't come up on Thursday
okay.
in person. So we're going to have a little pre-recorded video we're going to make tomorrow in the gallery.
Oh, cool. I was wondering about that because actually, in addition to being Portland Cinnamon Bun Philanthropist, and I do have to say that the original name of the Whitney's project is a little more... Yeah, there's a little more to it, but we'll leave it at that. But Whitney also has a day job, so she isn't a full-time bun maker. Although, you know, I came to this epiphany, Whitney. You are a software consultant, and I think that buns are definitely software. That's all I'll say. Okay, now back to what folks are going to see. So, Kristen, you will be presenting for Ales and Ideas, is that right?
I will be presenting on Thursday, yes.
Okay, and will you have some of the boxes to show, or will that be part of a video, or what?
Actually, I will, and we'll be sure to include, I think we can do that tomorrow when we're shooting our video. And Nancy also asked me to bring down some of the actual boxes to the showroom, so I'll do that so we can, you know, have them displayed and part of the shot in the camera.
Okay. Well, now, actually, this is not the first time that your students, you and your students, have been involved in arts-based social action. What other projects have you done with your students?
Well, you know, one of the things we've done, and I guess this will be our third year that we've done our It's Raining Cats and Dogs, and we're going to be doing this again, and we will be exhibiting again at Old Town Framing, and we're creating portraits of the local animals at the shelter in Warrenton, and they'll be up for purchase, and all the money will go towards the shelter.
Beautiful. And you actually teach... painting, drawing, and design in most, in your 17 years at Clatsop College. What are you teaching these days, and how are you teaching it?
Well, you know, we are actually meeting face-to-face for the studio classes since they are considered lab classes. So I feel really lucky that we can meet face-to-face. I am teaching art history these days as well, and I am teaching that entirely remote. It's on Zoom, and I found it works really great for that particular class.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Now, I did see you sent some photos. So when you say face-to-face, actually, these students are not face-to-face. The students are all masked, and they're all face to their easels.
Right. Well, what I mean by face-to-face...
I know. Everybody is in this, but it's a nice big space. So,
huge. And we're limited. I only allow 10 students at a time. We had to cap it at 10 because we spaced the easels out to 6 feet apart.
Right. I just wanted folks to not worry about
you know,
the safety. Can people register for your classes?
Oh, yes. Registration is happening right now, so I'm glad you brought that up. There's a lot of great classes being offered here in the art department and at the college as a whole. We have ceramics. We have photography. We have a graphic design class taught by my colleagues. I'll be teaching watercolor in the spring. Really excited about that. Basic design, where we'll be doing our Shinrin-yoku art hike inspired by Marco Davis.
Oh,
so we're going
yes.
to resonate that again.
Oh, how exciting. Great.
And also art history.
Where should people go to register or to just read more about it or whatever?
Well, they can go right to our campus website, www.clatsopcc.edu. And first thing, they'll see a slider at the top where they can click on to find information about registering. And just a word of caution, we have switched to a new system. So there's a few quirks. It might be a little challenging, so please don't give up. If anyone needs any help with enrolling in a class, please contact me or anyone at the college, and we're more than happy to help with the process of enrolling.
Wonderful. Well, I am very impressed and pleased that my two guests, Kristen Schock, you just heard from Clatsop Community College Art Department, and Whitney Roots from Portland, who started this whole project that is culminating in an exhibit of art, cinnamon roll art boxes. And again, even if you're not making them now, I'm still going to think of you as Portland Cinnamon Bun Philanthropist, seeing how we, all of us, can do something to combat food insecurity, which is everywhere in the world, including right in our own very community. So check out the Clatsop County Food Bank, the Oregon Food Bank, and any other way that you might be able to offer your assistance. Thank you both. Whitney, thanks for being here. I look forward to meeting you in person. Maybe I'll take you up on that cinnamon bun someday. And Kristen, I am certainly excited about seeing this show at Royal Nebucher Art Gallery. What's the name of the show?
We're calling it The Giant Give. The Giant Give.
Nice. The Giant
Give.
We
will also have it posted online for anyone who can't come up in person. So we'll be getting that up and running.
Oh, great. Excellent. And again, you can tune in Thursday, March 4th, 7 p.m. to Fort George Brewery Facebook Live, Ales and Ideas. Each Thursday, they have a different group. TNT comes from, the Historical Society, different groups. But there is an interesting lecture Seth Titchener was on last week. And if you, on your computer and your internet server, can get this, good luck and enjoy. So thank you both for being with us on KMUN.
Thank you so much, Carol. It's always fun visiting with you.
Right. Same here.
Thank you, Carol.
You bet. So a couple of things I want to remark. Tomorrow, the Hoffman Gallery is open. They were open today, too, 1 to 4, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday they're open. This is the last weekend for Chaya Wilson. It could be Chaya Wilson. I'm not sure how she pronounces her name. And then starting on from March 5th to 28th, there will be the 5th annual color show, Black and Blue. The Cannon Beach, that's in Manzanita, the Hoffman. Cannon Beach Gallery, last weekend for Palette and Kiln. And the Sou'wester is featuring Left Coast Country Duo in their live stream. And then on Wednesday, Cannon Beach Gallery is opening a show, that'd be the 3rd to the 28th, Ephemera. One of my favorite words that goes out to Phil Johnson, who taught me that word. Elizabeth Berger installation, Linda Dove assemblage, and Dorota Haber-Ley artwork. And they also have a call for art, Aqueous Materials. And the deadline is March 28th. Don't forget, March 15th is the beginning of KMUN Pledge Drive. And you can go to KMUN's YouTube and watch a all-French concert with the 45th Parallel Universe. That's a thank you gift from us to you. And we do look forward to hearing from you. And I certainly will be pitching in to thank KMUN staff, board, everyone involved for staying on the air, keeping my life rich and full. I hope it's the same for you. I want to go out with KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org or KMUN.org. I want to go out with a song by Billie Holiday. I'm sure you've heard there's a biopic coming out. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but she certainly was a blessing. The song is God Bless the Children, which I think is appropriate. And I got an email from the Rosenberg Fund. It's from one of the Mirapol sons who started the Rosenberg Fund. That's the children of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg. And he wrote about the similarities between Ethel Rosenberg and Billie Holiday. They were both born in 1915 into poverty. They both sang, although Billie, of course, was way beyond. And they were both precocious and political activists as young people. They both got in trouble with the law, and they both died from being in. We're going to hear God Bless the Children, and I want to bless everyone for being here together with us. Thanks for listening. Stay well. Don't forget, wearing a mask is an act of love. Wear two. Thanks, folks.